Vehicle-to-grid is where electric vehicles draw power from the electricity grid to power their batteries as well as households, and it's one of the main focal points discussed at the Smart Energy Queensland Expo this week by industrial leaders. Over the years, there's been much discourse surrounding their technology. So where are we currently at in Australia in terms of shifting into this new way of powering vehicles? To find out the answer for this question and more, The Wire's Tony Pankaluik attended the expo and spoke to Smart Transport and E-Mobility Lead from the Smart Energy Council, Alan Edwards.
Vehicle to grid is exactly what it sounds like, or vehicle to grid, vehicle to home, V2 plus we're now calling it, because obviously there are applications that are there. But basically it's an electric vehicle that has a battery that is then able to be plugged into your home or into the grid, particularly to be able to supply power from your battery back into the grid system. And then vehicle to home, of course, is being able to plug that back in through your inverters, etc., and power your home. And V2 plus, you know, could be obviously powering other things that are out there, but using the power from the battery in your car to be able to support the grid technically is what vehicle to grid is.
So whereabouts are we at in Australia?
The technology is there now for us to do vehicle to grid and for us to be able to do that quite successfully. You know, other countries around the world, particularly the Norwegian countries, etc., are a lot further down the electrification road, particularly of vehicles than we are. And it's very much a part of their system there. Here in Australia, though, we have the longest grid in the world and some unique things about the Australian environment, which other countries don't, of course. Obviously, being such a big landmass, a small population, all of these type of things that go out with that. But probably the main factors for Australia and the Australian market really turning over to vehicle grid at the moment is the bi-directional chargers. Currently at the moment, there are only several of those which are registered on the Clean Energy Council list for us to be able to use, you know, that have had their standards checked and those things. But probably one of the other major areas is the actual vehicle manufacturers at the moment. So a lot of vehicle manufacturers, whilst their vehicles are very capable of vehicle to grid, they actually haven't put it into their warranty systems that they will warrant their vehicles should you use it for vehicle to grid applications at the moment. Most of the vehicles that are out there really only require a software change to be able to make that a reality for their cars. But there are in Australia several vehicles that do that. The Mitsubishi Outlander, which is a hybrid vehicle, is warranted for those things. The Ford Lightning, as we heard, that has been converted here in Australia by OzEV, amazing vehicle. That's obviously vehicle to grid capable. And also all of the Nissan Leafs, which have been probably one of the oldest vehicles out there electric-wise. They're also well capable of that. But I would expect over the next very short period, I'd say year to 3 years, that most manufacturers will be bringing that on. It's largely just consumer demand is going to be driving more and more of that. And as we also have heard from the Ford Lightning people, that it really has no effect on the battery. So it's not like you're using more of your battery if you're plugging it into your house or not. They're currently probably the slowdown points just at this point in time in our transition.
So could you tell us a bit about what you and the Smart Energy Council are doing for vehicle to grid? If you could talk a little bit about your work that you're currently doing.
Yeah, so the Smart Energy Council, as you know, are a non-for-profit industry body. And to give you a bit of history on that, we're actually one of the oldest industry bodies in the world. So we're actually 71 years old this year, if you can believe that. So we were created back in 1954 when the Australians first invented the first solar panel in universities. That's when we started as the Solar Energy Society, so which is now the Smart Energy Council. So we've been around and in the space for a long, long time. But what we do is support industry, really, and obviously the Australian transition to renewable energy and that push forward. So some of the work that I'm particularly doing in the smart transport and e-mobility space is getting around and trying to put together all of the handshakes between all of the different people that are required across this whole electrification of the vehicle sector there. So that can include grids, it can include obviously our power connectors in relation to that, but also the technology in relation to bi-directional chargers and, you know, home technology that goes in and around there. So some of that's not only connecting those people together, but getting all those people to work together so that we can iron out all the lumps and bumps there, and quite a lot of policy work too, to be fair. We work a lot with governments and provide a lot of industry feedback to governments and government sectors there, and advise obviously on policy that's also going to be helped to bring these things forward and develop them further into the adoption, which just has to happen for the electrification of Australia.
And you mentioned earlier with Norway being ahead of Australia in regards regards to this topic, but is there any other international examples that you know of that Australia could look at and see how they've done it successfully and take some lessons into the future?
Yeah, I mean, clearly there are other countries which are much further ahead of us in this game here. And most of those do reside in those sort of Euro zones, if you like, and probably too, because they're all quite connected there. And a lot of manufacturing comes out of that space as well. You know, we all have German manufacturing and all those sorts of things that are over there. But certainly there are lessons which we are learning, you know, as we're rolling out, that we're actually taking heed of what they've done and what they've done well, and also two things that maybe they haven't done so well as to where they work. But in bringing a lot of those things forward, so many things, as I mentioned earlier, because of our size and because of our geography and the small amounts of population that we have, really, there are a lot of things that work within those sorts of countries which sort of don't really apply to us out here. So in a lot of ways, we are out on our own, even though like the cars themselves we know about, and you can see, you know, testing for batteries, and you can see how some of the wiring's gone together and all of those things. But as an overall umbrella across the whole industry and that whole sector in Australia, we're quite unique in that whole sort of way. And it's not just in this industry, of course, we're quite unique because of that across the board with things, the way we build houses, agriculture, all sorts of sectors.
Okay, so last question. Is there any other talking points that I haven't mentioned earlier that you'd like to talk about just as we wrap up?
I really encourage where I can that, you know, the adoption first of EVs and taking that up on a personal level for people here. I think that most people are starting to see now that we've got in all of these new types of cars come to Australia, which is amazing, and them coming out. But also some of the things that have been brought up is that for a change, you know, if you start thinking about these things, our vehicle and the energy we use to drive our vehicles can actually be a bit of a profit center for us as consumers. I've never been able to fill my car with petrol and then go and sell my petrol back to somebody else later. Or, you know, even driving my EV, like I came down the mountain the other day from, I was in Queensland here from Toowoomba, and I left there with 493 kilometres coming into town. I'd already done 50 kilometres and I had over 500 kilometres in my tank there just because of regenerative braking and things like that. So I found that quite exciting that I can actually drive this and have more energy in it than what I did when I left because of these type of things. But I think as Australians start to electrify, I think that any fears and things like that that they may have in relation to just that change and that transfer over will probably be allayed very quickly. And most people that you've spoken to that have already made the switch to EVs and that over are certainly in no hurry to go back anywhere towards where that was. But I think that more and more so as that comes through, transport's, you know, a vital thing for Australians, again, because of our population and the size of our country. It's sort of one of those things that we all have cars running out. And I think that that switch over largely will be driven, particularly because of the cost savings and also those runovers. But, you know, obviously all the savings on fuel as well during that time. So I can encourage people, you know, start with a car, really have a good look at it. And at the moment, a lot of the BYDs and all these others coming out, it's probably cheaper to buy those now, let alone the running costs.
That was Alan Edwards from the Smart Energy Council speaking to The Wire's Tony Pankaluik.